Welcome back, everyone, to this 45th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby.
Hey!
How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm excited. I know you're bored by all this news we have, but...
Totally bored. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's been a while since we've recorded Guildcast, and it's funny because we were actually going to record last week, and, you know, there are a few little things here and there, little pieces of news, interviews, a couple, you know, little information on World PvP, and, it's good news, but it's not like, you know, if they announced the Mesmer, right?
Right. Which they still haven't done.
But they have announced something.
Yay!
And we're very excited by this. We will talk about this more in depth later. We have a little bit of other little news to talk about first. But they've announced the Engineer. This is a class that we speculated on quite a bit. I mean, I've talked about this for a while, and Ruby, you know, we've both talked about this. A lot of people, when we've done, like, roundtable shows, you know, we've speculated on it, and a lot of people are like, yeah, I guess that would make sense to have an Engineer.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, you know, I want something like the Warhammer Engineer, where you can set up turrets and you can do bombs and things like that. And that's pretty much what it is. I mean, it's a mix between that and a little bit of even like the Rift Saboteur, where you have the bombs. We'll talk all about that in more detail in a second. I guess before that, how have you been? It's been a few weeks.
Pretty well. I'm just so jazzed about this that I'm trying to remember what I was doing before it came about.
What you were doing last year, the last time we recorded, right?
I know, right? No, pretty good. All that, you know, it's been a lot of fun real life stuff.
Yeah.
Spring seems to do that when you've got kids.
Yeah, so, all this weather.
We have a lot of weather.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was like really, really hot, and then now it's really, really cold.
Oh, gosh, it's ridiculous. Tomorrow it's supposed to get warm, and I can't believe how excited I am about warm weather. I mean, seriously? Really? But you've had a lot going on, too.
Oh, yeah. Tornadoes and stuff, I guess.
Yeah, that just, you know, you had some weather, too.
Yeah, a little bit of weather. Yeah, we had some tornadoes come through here and damage some property, but all's well with me, so stop worrying.
Yours is okay. Your house was okay. Yeah. The houses on the other side of you did not fare so well, but
yeah.
We don't care because you got off okay.
Yeah, exactly. Although it was my tree that completely crushed the house next door, so it crushed my fence too and everything. My house is fine, so.
Yeah,
pretty crazy stuff.
We've both been playing the real life MMO.
Yeah. Plus, we have E3 coming up pretty soon here too, and that should be fun because we're going to record a lot for our Massively Speaking podcast while we're there. And so, you know, if you guys miss us, you can always listen to us there, right?
Yeah, we'll have those constant. Well, we did that at GDC. We recorded a little bit every night, kind of recapping the day, and that turned out to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Although NCSoft, I'm almost positive, won't be at E3. They kind of aren't a part of that whole thing.
Yeah.
They haven't been a part of E3 for a long time. So, as far as I know, I mean, last year, actually, they had someone, I think it was, was it Daniel? I think it was Daniel that spoke somewhere last year. I'm not sure. I'm getting my conventions mixed up. But but it was, at some point, they did have someone, I think, at E3 last year, but it wasn't in an official capacity. You know, it's kind of like GDC. You know, they have people at GDC, but they're kind of just checking out stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're not like on the show floor with a big display and all that good stuff.
Yeah, they save that stuff for PAX and Gamescom.
Well, for the places the fans can attend, because that's who they want to show off their stuff to.
Yeah, exactly. And that's pretty much what they said about why they don't go to E3. And E3 is actually, you know, it's kind of an industry-only thing, and it's become even stricter this year, which is funny because they say that, you know, I guess in previous years people were making blogs, you know, like a Blogspot blog called, welovegames.blogspot.com or something, and then they would get a press pass, a free pass, which is worth, you know, hundreds of dollars, and they would get in for free to these things. And finally E3 was like, yeah, you know what? We're not going to do that anymore. So
you can't just make a free blog and say you're a journalist.
Yeah, so they're getting a little more strict on that. So, yeah, we'll be there, and I'm sure, you know, if we probably won't have anything Guild Wars related to talk about, but there will definitely be some other MMO news that we'll talk about on our other podcast.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Yeah. So, I guess let's go ahead and get into the first little bit of news here. And this is relating to, there was an investor call recently, and the funny thing is, whenever these happen, this happened last year too, and actually the year before, on these investor calls, the kind of higher-ups at NCSoft will tell their investors good news. You know, they have to kind of give projected release dates or beta dates, things like that, to get the investors excited about their product. I mean, that's, you know, in every business it's like that.
Right.
So this time they said, actually, let's see, what was it was Jeho Lee, I think is his name, how you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. He said that... the exact quote is, starting from year 2012, we believe substantial growth will be driven by new blockbuster titles like Blade and Soul and Guild Wars 2. Also, Guild Wars 2 will go into beta testing stage in the second half of this year. So, right there, they've confirmed the beta thing. Now, we've kind of known about the closed beta starting this year. You know, it's been said before in other interviews, but this is like another confirmation, I guess. It's like one more... you know, solid word.
Yeah,
about
I think this was probably like the firmest confirmation we've got.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably why the community kind of exploded.
Yeah, they did. They went a little nuts. And also, you know, the other part of that, of course, is saying that Guild Wars 2 is going to release in 2012. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people were speculating that it might release at the very end of this year. But I don't know. I forgot who it was that said it's going to release next year. Oh, yeah. That was me.
I didn't want to admit it. I didn't want to admit it. And I, you know, before this came out, I think it was in our Massively chat room, I think it was yesterday, I was like, you know, it's breaking my heart, but I don't think this game is going to come out this year.
Yeah.
And I finally came out of denial, like, just yesterday. So it's funny that, you know, this guy at NCSoft was like, uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's, again, and then Regina came in, actually, there was a thread in Guild Wars 2 Guru, and Regina came in and said, yeah, you know, this is stuff we already knew. Like, if you were following, she literally said, if you were pressing F5 every, you know, 10 minutes, then you would have known this, I guess, as kind of hardcore fans, that this is what they've already said. But for the investors, you know, they don't know this stuff, so they had to kind of spell it out for the investors. But, of course... you know, we picked up on this at Massively, too, and it's one of those things where it's just, you know, it like you said, it's another, probably the most solid confirmation we've had that there will be a beta in 2011, and then, and Regina even says it in the thread, too. She says, the beta will be used to determine when they can start going forward to release. So it's kind of, you know, they can't give a release date until they do the beta. And again, they're sticking with the whole when it's ready thing.
Well, that's, I don't know. I'm kind of on board with when it's ready. I always have been, as frustrating as it is, because I don't want them to say, yes, GameStop is right, it's coming out November of 2011, and then rush and turn out something that's not as good as they want to meet that date. So when it's ready is okay. If it could be ready soon, that would be great.
Yeah, a lot of games have done that, where they've actually cut classes out, or they've cut, you know, continents or content here and there, just to get it out at a certain point, because they have these big, you know, publishers breathing down their necks, and then that's always a disaster. Like, that never works out.
Yeah. I'd rather, well, and two, you know what, as long as we've waited for this, and I know in the general development cycle, it's not that we've been waiting longer, it's not that this game has been in development longer than a normal game has been, it's that we've been hearing about it so much longer. But as long as the community has been waiting for this, I don't know if they'll accept anything less than an absolute blinding level of polish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially at this point. I mean, it's kind of gone past the, what is it? It's 2007 it was first announced. So, I mean, you know, we have all that time where people are just kind of like, at this point, we're just like, you know, just it better be insanely good.
It had better be everything that we have built up to expect in the past 3 years. And, you know, in that vein, I feel a little bit bad for ArenaNet and NCSoft. People are going to be so, so much harder on them and so much less accepting of bugs.
Well, yeah,
than they are in anyone else.
I think so. But I think also, I think SOTOR will kind of cushion that blow a little bit. because it's supposed to release, you know, the end of this year, I think, they're saying. And, you know, if that releases and it's not perfect, people are going to, you know, rip that apart.
Oh, man. And,
yeah, I mean, it's kind of what happens, you know, but I don't know. And also, you know, we look at Rift, and that released in such an amazingly good state. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, no lag or very few bugs and things like that, and it was a very, very polished launch. So Trian's like spoiling us, you know. We have to expect that. So, but yeah, I mean, ArenaNet, they know what they're doing, you know, and NCSoft knows what they're doing. So,
yeah, and it's not that I think they'll turn out a crap game. It's just that, you know, if, oh my gosh, this NPC's pant leg is a quarter inch shorter than his other pant leg, someone's going to say something.
Well, that'll happen anyway, yeah.
Well, yeah, point.
I'm going to be the first one. No.
So, yeah. No, you won't. You'll be over there blowing stuff up with the engineer and just giggling.
That's true. That's, yeah. So let's talk about the engineer then. I almost said the Mesmer. I can't get off the Mesmer. I don't know. So,
I told you the Mesmer wasn't coming.
So the engineer. Now, we, like I said, we've talked about this before. You know, we said that it would be great if there was an engineer class, and it had turrets, and it had bombs, and it had mines, and, you know, things like this. But they've gone beyond that. They've added a bunch of stuff to, you know, a lot of things that we didn't expect. And one of those is the elixir gun. I think that's pretty amazing. Like, you can literally shoot elixirs at your allies, you know, to... Now, here's what I don't understand about this, and maybe you can help me understand this. Are they shooting the elixirs to them to use, or are they shooting to them, like, and then it heals them?
I hope to God it hits them and explodes and heals them.
Yeah. That's
seriously.
The kind of how I'm taking it.
And this is how I want my drugs administered in real life from now on.
Through a gun?
I want my doctor to have elixir guns. How awesome would that be?
Well, what's funny about this, too, at least from that side of it, from the healing side, they talk about med kits.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have med kits so that... And one example here, too, is they say... they're explaining a little bit about the tool belt, which we'll talk about in a second. But they said that when the tool belt is used with a med kit, it actually adds a self-healing skill. Which, I mean, everybody has a self-healing skill. But with the elixir gun, I mean, it kind of almost makes the engineer into not a dedicated healer, but, you know, kind of a party healer, I guess.
Yeah, a long-range party healer.
Yeah.
I'm seriously so excited about that.
So let's go down the line here. Let's kind of, you know, go exactly in order here of what the features are. Now, it says the engineer is kind of a master of mechanical mayhem. That's the quote they have here.
I love that.
They have explosives, gadgets, alchemy, which is the elixir, the shooting elixirs, and all manner of deployable devices. So that includes turrets, that includes things like, you know, laying down mines, throwing bombs and grenades. And the way this works is something I find really interesting. Like, one of these kind of mechanics of it is a backpack kit. So you have these backpacks, and you'll have a bomb backpack, and you'll throw that on, and that'll give you all the tools, basically your skill bar set of bombs to use, you know, for that thing. And they actually list them, and they say, like, there's a tool kit, which I imagine is to repair turrets, possibly more, grenade kit, bomb kit, mine kit, and med kit. So those are what they have listed. So there's the healing right there with the med kit. There's mines to place, you know, kind of like a trapper, place those down, bombs for throwing for, you know, offensive damage, DPS right there, and then grenades, kind of the same thing. That's exciting to me. I mean, it makes sense, too, because of the whole way that the skill bar is set up to change with your item. I mean, when you have a whole backpack, there's your array of items.
Oh my gosh, there's so much stuff.
And they also say it can deploy bombs, including smoke, concussion, and fire.
So the concussion, that will, like, I assume, like, daze or stun.
Yeah, yeah. And then smoke probably blinds them, you know.
Oh, man. I wonder, now see, I'm already trying to figure out how can we possibly get the most out of this. I'm just thinking, can you switch out your bomb kits really quickly and blind them with smoke, stun them, and then burn them?
Well, oh, you mean different types of
yeah, I just wonder how rapidly and how handily you can switch all this out.
Well, from what it sounds like, it sounds like they say here a bomb kit will put a bomb backpack on the engineer, allowing them to deploy a variety of bombs. So it sounds to me like it's one backpack, and those items, those skill item skills in your skill bar will be smoke, concussion, fire. You know
I so hope so.
I hope so too, yeah.
And I'm with you. That's what it sounds like, because I'm just thinking like a rapid fire, three different conditions would be so cool.
Yeah, yeah. And here's something, too, that I find insanely, when I read this, I squeed. weapon kits. This is another thing. And these are utility skills that use your weapon. And it's not just your items, you know, in the backpack. These are actually weapons. So, and one example they use here is a flamethrower. We'll just pause here for the people going, yeah. So, it says it creates a flamethrower weapon, which can be used as a short AOE, short-range AOE weapon. And then some of the skill examples they use here are like immolate to damage nearby enemies, air blast to defend from the ranged attacks, and backdraft to suck enemies into the range of the flamethrower's powerful attacks. That's crazy.
That is the coolest. You know what? I have to say backdraft was probably one of my favorite parts of this reveal.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, can you imagine an enemy trying to flee and you sucking him back in and deploying a flamethrower?
Yeah. And the way they, like what we've seen of the fire effects in Guild Wars 2, I can't wait to see those flamethrowers.
Oh my gosh. I've got to get my hands on this.
It's going to look so incredible. I wonder if they made the flame effects first and then they were like, we already have the elementalist with the fire, but we need to do something even better with this fire. Let's make flamethrowers, you know?
Yeah.
That was the meeting right there. I don't know. But they, so further on in this thing, they say that the weapon kits that they're naming now, I don't know if this is going to be all of them, but they say flamethrower and elixir gun. And the elixir gun we talked about, you know, shooting the elixirs.
Yes. And
a little bit more on this. What it is it says that there's, you know, they can be considered alchemists. Not only do they mess with the mechanical side of things, you know, with turrets and bombs and things like that. But they also, you know, they have like a science kit. You know, they're big fans of Mr. Wizard growing up, right?
Well, yeah.
And so they have all kinds of little bottles of stuff that they can use on the battlefield. And here's what I find insanely crazy. Like, this is one of the coolest things to me in this reveal. I mean, I can't name one. It's like flamethrower, yes, bombs, yes. But this is incredible. Due to the unpredictable nature of alchemy, elixirs all have some random component to them. So these elixirs, like if you use one certain elixir, it's an unstable formula that will actually give the engineer a random elite power from another profession.
I love that.
Isn't that
love
crazy?
It so much.
So, like if you're a gambler, you want to play an elixir or an engineer because play with the elixirs because, I mean, could you imagine? Like you just get like a random elite skill, and then I guess I imagine there will be a timer on it, maybe a recharge. I'm not sure, but I mean they don't say any of that in here. But
well, I can't imagine you'd get to keep it.
Yeah,
it's like capping elites through in Guild Wars 1.
Yeah, with just elixirs. So yeah, I think that's so exciting, and it's so much fun. You know what I mean? Like, could you imagine being in a group and your engineer's like shouts out that they just got, you know, an elementalist elite or something, and now they can, you know, shoot ice,
yes. Or,
you know, whatever. I mean, that would be crazy. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is so cool.
So then we look at the turrets, which I'm, of course, very excited about. Now, these are very much like the Warhammer turrets, you know, on the Engineer in Warhammer, if you're familiar with that. It seems like what you do is you set them up, and they can do their thing. You can't move them. Well, I mean, you can't move them easily. It says that you actually will be able to take them down and move them later, but you can only have one out at a time. So what it does, here they give an example. There's a thumper turret, And it says that what this turret does is it does AoE damage, but it can be overcharged to do a big thump attack that knocks down nearby enemies. And then after of course, you know, let's say the battle's over, what you do is you pack it up, and then you can move it around from there. And this actually removes the turret, toggles the skill back to the deploy skill, and then puts that turret into a short recharge. And you can only have, of course, one type of turret out mm-hmm. at a time. Which I was kind of hoping you could have more, because then you could make kind of like a tower defense game. You know, put a bunch of turrets up and have the bad guys go through the tower defense maze. And yeah, that would be awesome. But
that's a whole different game.
Yeah.
An awesome one, but still.
Yeah. So I'm excited by this. I love the stationary pet mechanics. I love to be able to just, you know, throw one down and go do your thing somewhere, you know, throw down some mines, and then, you know, what I usually do in those kind of situations is I'll throw down mines, and I'll throw up a turret, and the turret will actually draw aggro, so then they all start running towards, and they hit the mines, and they, you know, they get injured, and then they're fighting the turret, and then
yes,
then the rest of the party pops up and does their thing. I mean, oh, I can't wait.
I know. This. I need to get my hands on this.
Can you tell I'm excited? I told you yesterday, and I still stand by it. This is not going to be a popular statement, but I might enjoy the Engineer more than a Mesmer, if they have a Mesmer.
That surprised me so much. Well, I don't know. It kind of did, and it kind of did not.
Yeah, well, what's funny, though, is when I, you know, my love for the Mesmer is based on Guild Wars 1. You know what I mean? Like, what I've played in Guild Wars 1. My love for the Engineer and you know, bomb-making classes is based on all other games that I've played with that in it. You know, my main in Rift is a Saboteur. My main in Warhammer was an Engineer. When I play Global Agenda, I like the robotics because they can kind of throw down those things too. I mean, it's just, that's kind of the thing that I usually play in all other games. And now that they've put it in a Guild Wars world,
oh yeah,
it's over.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? Now that you're saying that, that brings up another point that really just excited me. And going back to Rift for just 2 seconds, I've got a rogue in there, and she wields a rifle. The mechanical, all of that in a fantasy setting just kills me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, World of Warcraft has been doing that for a while. You know, the dwarves are like that, and the gnomes are like that. I remember the first time I saw that, and I was like, what, really? And then they made the motorcycles in World of Warcraft, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. But it works, I think, in that mm-hmm. setting, and I think that in this setting, it'll be a little more serious, I think is the best way to say it.
I think so.
It's kind of tongue-in-cheek in World of Warcraft, but I think here it'll be a little more serious, a little bit more lore-driven, and a lot of fun. I'm excited.
Oh, definitely. Well, and you know, I think you're very right about it being serious, because it fits in so nicely with the progression of 250 years.
Oh, yeah.
And I like how that all fits in, too. It just all comes together so beautifully, and it makes me very, very happy. Mm-hmm. And should we draw the inevitable comparison between this and the Commando? I mean, somebody's going to do it.
Yeah, that's true. So. Yeah, we have. This is like the real version of the Commando, I guess.
Yeah, and to a point, I mean, it's very, very justified to a point. It's not the Commando, but it's as close as you're going to get. Yeah. There are bombs and mines and grenades of a sort with the elixirs. I mean,
yeah.
I just love it. And I think the people that were so excited about the Commando and disappointed that it wasn't a real class are going to be very happy with this.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I could definitely see that. Practically say this every time that this is the one I'm going to make. You know, to tell the truth, we all know I'm going to make one of everything anyway, so it's...
Well, I told you yesterday, you're not going to get out of character creation for a month.
Oh, I know. Well, I will.
Be like level 50.
I will. I'll be making a bunch of characters, but I won't actually start any of them for a month.
Well, yeah.
They'll all be sitting in character creation.
I guess you're not going to get much past character. You're going to have like 10 level 5s.
Yeah, exactly. I do that in Rift already. Bad enough.
Do you really?
One other important thing too about the turrets is they actually list them in this release, and they say that there's a rifle turret, a thumper turret, a net turret, a flame turret, and a healing turret. So a healing turret. So you can set up, you could set this thing up in the middle of a battle, and it looks like it'll heal your friends while you're fighting, as long as everybody gets around it. I mean, that's like wells or glyphs, you know, that we're already used to. Actually, Global Agenda, going back to that again, Global Agenda, this actually reminds me a lot of the medic in Global Agenda, because they have a gun that shoots healing at the allies, and then you can set up a thing in the middle that'll heal people. So, I mean, it's kind of like that. I like that, though. I like that they added that.
Is it like a laser?
Well, the gun is,
familiar with. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'm still hung up on the image of just firing a little elixir bottle and, you know, smashing it on the back of your ally's head. You're all better.
It's like, thanks, but now I have glass shards in my eye. Thanks. Do you have anything for that?
Yeah, hang on. Let me reload.
Yeah. Net turret, though, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, you know, hold in place rooting mechanics.
Definitely.
Sounds really cool.
So, flight turret's kind of a given.
Yeah. I mean, they have to use that fire animation.
Ah, yes.
And then rifle, probably a little bit longer range, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so, and one other thing they have here listed is the tool belt that I kind of touched on at the beginning there. The tool belt is, it's like a little set of special skills that will show up above your weapon skill bar. Kind of like if you have a pet and you get that additional skill bar, you know, that's kind of what it's like. But these, I guess they enhance, you know, the normal skills that you have. And some examples here, they said, like with the mine kit, the mine kit itself you'll have, but then the tool belt will actually add an option that detonates all mines. So, and with a grenade kit, it says it'll allow a grenade barrage, and then paired with the med kit, it adds a self-heal. So, it's almost like a secondary skill bar, I guess you could say, that's added on.
Yeah, that's kind of how it sounds to me. The tool belt, to me, almost seems like the biggest mystery. I mean, that's the thing that I want to know the most about.
Yeah, I could see that.
So it sounds like it's got a lot more functionality, a lot more in-depth functionality than what we're reading here, and I want to know more.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure we'll find out more. Of course, you know, we're going to be asking questions about this massively about
yes.
this. So hopefully we'll get some more questions there. I mean, they always do a lot of interviews on these types of things, so I think from here we'll only find out more, which, you know, means we could probably release another episode once we find out more information here pretty soon.
Yeah, we need to play this is what we need to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to just go ahead and drive up to Seattle. And it's only, what, can't be more than like 20 hours?
Yeah, by car, yeah. Isn't it like a six-hour flight? I mean...
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you hop in your car...
I'll get right on that.
Yeah, okay, good luck. Let me know how that works for you.
So for weapons on the engineer, it lists for two-handed rifle, main hand pistol, and offhand you can have another pistol or a shield. I think that's interesting. So this is like another dual pistol-wielding class.
The shield is interesting to me. I'm not sure. I want to see how that works within a gameplay scenario, because it doesn't. It seems like this one of these things is not like another.
Well, has there ever been another game that's had a pistol and a shield together? I can't think of any.
Maybe that's why it's kind of blowing my mind. I'm going, I don't understand this shield. Is that a typo? Is somebody trying to be funny? How does this work?
Maybe it's like a riot shield, like the Commandos.
Oh! That would be so cool. Oh, it needs to be a riot shield. Yes! Well, I'm on board with that. Maybe with like a tiny window for shooting through.
I think also it... I imagine... Now, you know, this isn't confirmed or anything. I'm completely speculating. But you know how the Paragon shield is different from the Warrior shield?
Uh-huh.
It'd probably be something like that, I imagine. You know, it's kind of like a different design. Maybe a little hole to stick your pistol through and you shoot. I don't know. I have no idea. Okay, so that's basically the engineer. We don't know a ton about it at this point, but like I said, we'll probably find out more in the coming days and weeks.
Definitely.
And you can bet that we'll be talking about it, because, like I said, this is... I feel funny saying that this is the most exciting class reveal yet, because I think we've said that every other time, but it really is.
And it's funny. This is the brand new one that we were waiting on. I mean, this was the wild card.
Yeah, exactly. And then this is the one where we're like, but see, they're still saving kind of the best for last, it seems like. So I'm really excited to see, because it seems like if you were going to have, you know, save the best for last, you would have the new reveal last. You know what I mean? So if they're going to have a Mesmer-like character, then, like, what could they do to top everything else? You know what I mean? To say, to make it the best for last. That's what kills me. I don't know.
That is a really good point. Well, the Mesmer's clearly going to be even more awesome than we thought.
Yeah, because you can't save that one for last and then be like, and then there's the Mesmer, which is just like the one in Guild Wars 1. Okay, so anyway.
Hey, like, that would make a lot of people pretty happy.
Yeah, I mean, it'd still make me happy, but it would just be like, wait, what? Like, I don't know.
Maybe the Mesmer can wield like 3 weapons at once.
Maybe the Mesmer can wield a dragon.
Maybe the Mesmer is a dragon.
Maybe the Mesmer can pull brains out of dragons, put them on a stick, with chains and whip them around.
The Mesmer just has that I win button that you've talked about in games before.
Oh, yeah.
Roll a Mesmer, hit the I win button, and you're all good to go.
Yeah, that's...
Really? I don't know. I'm still with the dragon brain on a stick thing.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. It's a Mesmer, you know, they're mind control. It's like brain control. On sticks. There you go.
That's it. The Mesmers have mind control. Yeah. They can turn everybody into little zombie minions.
Or commandos. No. See, now that would be cool if the Mesmer could turn people into. Oh, maybe they could make people think that they're a different race or a different class. Like you could turn Char into humans, and then they would kill themselves. There we go.
This is just getting absurd, but I kind of like it.
ArenaNet, if you're listening, there you go. There's an elite skill right there. Free of charge. All right. Well.
Okay, so we've had our fun with the Mesmer.
We've had our fun, yes. But Engineer, I can't wait. I'm really excited.
Oh, this is so cool.
It's going to be insane. Should we read some emails? We have a few.
Yeah, definitely. I love reader emails.
Okay, we have some, let's see, some of them are pretty old, but that's okay. This first one says, "Hey guys, avid listener here. Your show is really great, and I appreciate all the time and effort that's put into it. Happy to hear your life is stellar, exciting, Sean, but still sad we might miss a few episodes here and there. I just wanted to share a freaky nerd experience I had a few days ago. I was sitting in my weekly lecture for my economics class, which is long and boring, 3 hours every Thursday night, and decided to sit in the back for a change because I was tired and wanted to maybe catch a few winks of sleep." I do not condone that.
Oh, like you never did it.
Anyways, I sat behind someone who's actually playing Guild Wars. Wait, what? What is this? We had like notebooks in class.
Oh, cool.
So me being the addicted...
I mean, like, bad. Don't play games in class.
Yes, that's right. So me being the addicted Guild Wars fan sat and watched him play it from a row behind. Needless to say, he fails at Guild Wars, but it was very amusing. I felt like such a nerd when I secretly laughed at him as he failed to complete the last mission in Nightfall about 6 or 7 times in a row. Wait, how long is this class? Oh, 3 hours.
My gosh.
Our rows are very close, so I could see his character name, so I whipped out my laptop and PM'd him in-game. He looked scared as crap when he turned around and looked at me waving at him after I said I was sitting right behind him. So I brought my shiny clone monk with the usual black FOW, Chaos Gloves, and GWAMM to help him beat Nightfall. Ooh. Once we watched the cutscene and ported into the end area, I kid you not, this is a direct quote that he said, "Damn, that Cormier Hobag ninja'd my glory." There's another line right there. I should shove her spear up where the sun don't shine.
Oh.
I busted up laughing, and my professor got ticked off and told me to get off YouTube because YouTube is obviously the only funny thing on the internet, and pay attention or leave. I was a little bummed because the guy I helped out left the class early. Hopefully I can catch him next week. He's the only person I've ever met in real life who also plays Guild Wars as well. Anyways, that was the weirdest thing that happened to me in the longest time, and it was Guild Wars related of all things. Thanks for all the episodes. They really keep me informed and entertained. Connor.
That is pretty awesome.
I'm trying to picture this. Okay, when I was in college, but yeah, this is a wait—is this college or yeah? I think it's college.
Yeah.
Lecture economic class because it's 3 hours long. We didn't have this kind of stuff. Like, I don't know. That's crazy. I mean, I guess it depends on what college.
I guess I don't know. In college, I was in college. I'm dating myself here. But when I was in college, that's like when I first sent my email. And email was like a huge novelty. And like 5 or 6 of us that knew each other were sitting on campus, and we were all in the same building, and we were sending each other emails. Because it was just so cool.
So that's the equivalent of now when my 12-year-old daughter texts her friends who are sitting right next to her in the car.
Yes. Yeah, my kid does that too, so.
Yeah.
I'm like, who could you? Well, you know what? And this is like a really short story, but we were at my 13-year-old's 8th grade graduation banquet. The entire class was in the same room, and they're texting each other.
Yeah.
And I saw mine texting. I looked over. I said, who could you possibly be texting? Everybody's right here. And
yeah.
She was like, yeah, but she's really far away. Okay. So, yeah, that's, I mean, I'm with you. It kind of blows my mind that this goes on
yeah.
in the college classroom. And not because it's naughty, but because we couldn't do that stuff.
Well, so not only are they playing a game in class, they also have obviously fast enough internet to play, fast enough Wi-Fi to play Guild Wars. So kudos and all that. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, and kudos for good taste.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, next one. This is from Flipside, and he says, hey guys, I've been working through old Prophecies missions, hanging out in the Maguma jungle quite a bit, which has me thinking about the Savari. Do you think that there's a connection between the Savari and the druids of the Maguma jungle? The druids supposedly gave up their mortal bodies to become one with the jungle. Perhaps after we awaken the Elder Druid during Bloodstone Fen, it puts certain things into place for the druids to return to the mortal plane and have a more active role in protecting the world. Probably just took a long time, tree time, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like dog time? I don't know.
Is it cooler.
Oh, okay. Or perhaps the Savari are the evolution of creatures such as the Thornstalkers. I'm hoping with the reskin we get something much more alien and plant-like. Though there's no reason we couldn't also have Savari like we've already seen. I hope they give us lots of options when it comes to this new race. Big, small, weird, and everything in between. Flip side. I mean, we've been told, I don't think that there's a question about them being evolved from anything that we already see in Guild Wars 1. Because they're made from Ventari's, you know,
right.
dead body in Ventari's refuge. And you know, they kind of evolved from that tree in Ventari's refuge, which, you know, that stuff is all still around in Guild Wars 1. So I don't, they're not, I mean, we already know that they're not evolved from anything that we see besides that tree in Guild Wars 1.
Yeah.
And as far as, I mean, that's good speculation. There are some good things that you said there, but I think that what you said here at the end about how you hope that after the reskin we see lots of options, I completely agree. You know, when you have a race that's completely new, it seems like there's so much you can do with it. You know what I mean? So yeah, I hope they do have lots of, you know, big, tall, weird, like you said, options.
You know, as far as tying the druid storyline into that, that's something that I would kind of like to see. And something that I could easily see happening, because ArenaNet has, there have been several incidents that I can think of off the top of my head where they've taken previous storyline elements and woven it into content that's come later.
Yeah.
And I'm actually thinking, we did Sorrow's Furnace in the Massively Guild recently, and you go down there and High Priest Elkar is talking about the Great Destroyer.
Yeah.
And that didn't come until much later, but they've been known to go back and use previous storyline elements and tie all that in together, and I would really like to see that continue going on. So I can easily see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not a direct descendant. Maybe they're like cousins or, you know.
Or something. I don't know.
They're cousins from Alabama.
Okay.
The druids, I don't know.
From Tree-Abama.
Yes.
It's a place.
Yeah. Okay, on to the next one. This one says, hey, Sean, Ruby, and the Cats. And then he says, does that sound like a blues band name or what?
Love it.
Most of the time, I take updates at face value. Skill A got nerfed, skill B got buffed, and feature X was added. Take 30-plus lines of notes like this, and you may have the Dervish update or the 4th anniversary update when Z-Quests were introduced. It is what it is. You do the content, but don't think much more of it. However, did you guys realize that the Seven Heroes / Embark Beach update was only a mere 12 notes long? Yet each of these lines implied a wealth of possibilities, choice, and game history. At face value, it was a much smaller update than, say, the Dervish update or Sorrow's Furnace, yet every single note was so spot on that it was about the most game-changing update in more than a year. The 6th anniversary update is the same deal. Only 7 lines of changes, yet the implied possibilities of hard mode quests and flux are profound. The history acknowledged with the Raza fix is also very cool. Your thoughts? Marnik Ahui Tatsui. Something like that. I don't know. And then he has a PS. Unlike what you thought last time, my IGN isn't a face roll or backwards. It was a misguided attempt at creating a Japanese-sounding name back when Factions released. I know it sounds stupid, yet don't we all make childhood mistakes? I'm looking at you, Ruby. Whoa. At least it's not a misspelled anime name like Azumiki Naruto. So that's a
nice
bonus, right? Wow, okay.
Or X Megalos X.
Hey, that's my name.
My point.
So, I guess what he's saying is that this is a much more to-the-point update.
Right.
7 lines of change. I mean, maybe they have different people writing these. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I wonder. The Embark Beach updates were kind of small because so much of it, I mean, you had to, I guess you could just see in-game. And the Dervish updates, you know, with skill updates, you need numbers and stuff. And
yeah.
With Embark Beach, it's, hey, here's Embark Beach. It's a hub for the entire world. The end.
Yep.
So I don't know. You definitely can't judge a book by its patch notes. Thank you. I just thought that up just now.
Nice. That will go down in history.
I know, right?
Yeah, I hope they do that more often, because when you get patch notes that are 14 pages long, we tend to read the first 2 sentences.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's go on to the next one. Hey, Sean. Hello, Ruby. I have been listening to the Guildcast. The Guildcast? Ooh, that sounds sophisticated.
It is the Guildcast.
For about a year now, and you both never fail to entertain or enlighten me with each show. Now to the questions. Teacher, with ArenaNet revealing the Ascalon Catacombs and Sorrow's Embrace dungeons, do you think this will be taking the majority of Guild Wars 2's elite areas into the underground like in Guild Wars 1? I ask because I feel taking an area underground can bring an unnatural feel to it. Like how the Deep has endless ceilings in some parts, and how many dungeons in Guild Wars 1 use the same rooms multiple times. This has never bothered me in Guild Wars 1, because I know that the game can only generate so much terrain. But in Guild Wars 2, this could bother the hell out of me. Thanks for your time, guys. Stay well. Your friend, Colton the Ellie. P.S. Guild Wars 2 Mesmer release versus Guild Wars 1 HM Ellie buff. The race is on. Oh.
Well, I don't know. The endless ceilings in the Deep never really bothered me. I can see. I never like going in a dungeon and seeing that they've reused rooms. It's just irritating because you know, it's immersion breaking to me. And I know immersion is such a catchphrase, it's just worthless at this point. But still, I don't know. I think they've probably got the resources now to take it underground and do it right, so I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah. I can't help but think of Lord of the Rings Online and the way they did Mines of Moria. You know, they put a lot into Moria. Now, of course, they had Tolkien's books to look off of, you know, for inspiration on how to build these.
Right.
But it seems like I have a feeling that Moria didn't work as well as they would hope, because people don't really like to play in caves all day. You know what I mean? I mean, they put a lot into that. They made it so that, you know, the ceiling was just as good as the floor and the walls and everything else, so that when you look up, you're awed by the same stuff as when you look side to side.
Right.
Which you know, I enjoy and I respect. But I think that it was probably a little bit too much for people who, you know, they didn't want to sit in this dark, you know, cave for hours and hours and hours on end. So I think that now dungeons, you know, typically have been like that, but I would really like to see more open areas, more outside areas. Because I remember, you probably remember this too, but when Factions came out, wait, did you play when Factions first came out?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Well, when Factions first came out, I remember, and this applies to anyone who played Factions, but when you get out of Kaining City and you get into that area where the you see the grass and you see the mountains, and you get out of that, and it's you know, the haze kind of clears, and mm-hmm. it's such an amazing feeling. So I think that if we would have seen that amazing part from the beginning, it wouldn't have been as amazing. So I think that, you know, getting, you know, you have to have that low and the dark and the dankness to appreciate the beauty of, you know, the outside world.
Right.
So you need that contrast there to be able to appreciate, you know, each side of the contrast. So I think that, yeah, we do need underground dungeons. I just hope that it's not Moria. I just hope it's not, you know, underground for most of the game. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think that's mostly what I'm saying. in a roundabout way.
Well, but no, I'm completely on board. I mean, I could see that you don't want to be stuck in someplace dark and dank all the time. Mm-hmm. It is nice for a change and to help you appreciate. And the environment, everything we've seen of Guild Wars 2, the environment has been stunning. So I'm not worried about that. I just hope it's not too much.
Yeah. I hope there's enough variety. And I'm sure there will be. From what we've seen,
definitely.
It looks like there will be. All right, let's go to... This is our last email here. It says, "Hello, I found out about Guildcast only recently, about 1 week ago." This was sent a week ago, too. Okay. "Since then, I listened to all 44 episodes, and I think they are wonderful. I can't wait for Guild Wars 2, and I hope it comes out soon. By the way, Ruby is awesome." Wait a minute.
All right, I like this guy.
"Anyways, I could give 99% that two remaining professions are Mesmer and some sort of gunner engineer."
Awesome. Well, go you.
Well, you got one of them right there so far. However, what concerns me is that I've seen a concept art of a char who wields some sort of bazooka gun, and I'm all right with handheld guns and so on, but I hope that there are no bazooka-sized guns apart from rarely seen environmental weapons, because that will break the immersion by a lot, and given that one of the coming classes is a gunner/engineer, it would sadden me if one of their main weapon choices was a bazooka. What do you think about it?" I think in the concept art, I think that's probably a flamethrower. It's like a giant, and he sends a link to this,
yeah.
And it's a giant, giant, giant thing that's like on this char's shoulder. Wait, is that even a char? Yeah, I
think it is. If it's the art I'm thinking of, it is. It's almost looks like a big tube, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it has like fire inside of it.
A cylinder, yeah.
Like a giant spike chain underneath it, which, that would be uncomfortable.
Probably flamethrower. But a bazooka would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, and you never know. I mean, they might have something like that. And with an engineer, that would only make sense, I think. And maybe that's the elixir gun.
That's going to suck to get hit with that.
It's like, that's the fire elixir. No.
Burn your hair off, but it'll heal you.
It'll heal disease, but it'll melt all your skin off.
Yeah. Now I want to see a char with all the hair burnt off. Well, I'm just thinking of those old Looney Tunes. What was the big red creature on the Looney Tunes cartoons? Do you know what I'm talking about?
The one that said...
It was just fur.
Yeah, just fur and eyes.
Yeah, and there was one point where it lost all its hair, and it was seriously just eyes and feet.
Yeah.
That's how I picture the char.
That would probably be it. But, I think... Concept art, I mean, a lot of this stuff was pretty early on. Maybe they've changed their mind since then, you know?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't put too much into that concept art right there. But, I mean, you were right about the engineer. So,
oh, he's totally right about the Mesmer. Who are you kidding?
Well, not confirmed yet, but yeah. We all know it, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up for the show, but the next few weeks, you know, like we said last episode, we're not to a schedule right now. We're kind of releasing when there's big info. But hopefully if there's more info on the engineer from what we've talked about here, then we can talk about it, you know, like interviews, videos, all that kind of good stuff. And if we did that, we'd do it soon because in 2 weeks I will be gone doing some kind of marriage thing or something, whatever. I don't know.
Something about a wedding.
Yeah, I don't know. And then after that is E3 and then my honeymoon. So I'll be gone for like 3 weeks there. So so yeah, it's gonna be pretty crazy beginning of June there.
Yeah, so but in a good way.
Yeah, so if you don't hear from us next week on any other news, then it'll probably be at least 3 more weeks after that. So
yep.
Don't cry too much.
They'll be okay.
Ruby can just record like herself, like singing in the shower or just, you know.
Ew, no.
Singing along to Glee or whatever.
I would totally sing along with Glee, but I wouldn't record it.
And we'll release that as an episode.
No.
So if you want to send us an email, you can send it to Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com, or Ruby, R-U-B-I, at guildcast.com. You like how I say Ruby, like Ruby?
Oh, I didn't even notice till you pointed it out. Now you always have to do it like that.
And then check out the main page at guildcast.com. And we also have Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. We are everywhere. So check us out. So that's it from us. Until next time, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
Talk to you then.